Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the CITR 101.9. My name is Simon Welton, and we are here live from unceded Musqueam territory, as always, but we're in a brand new location tonight. We are in the new CITR studios in the brand new AMS Nest, because we apparently only deal with birds at UBC. But it's a lovely new studio, got great new equipment, so I'm very excited about it. Obviously, some of you guys might be a little choked listening today because, of course, the Canadian women's football team were unseated today by my motherland, England. It was quite enjoyable for myself, but we're here to cheer you up now because we're gonna have the White Noise show, as always. And then coming up right after that is going to be the White Noise after show. Surprise, surprise. And my guest today is the always hilarious Connor Neckleput, who's one of the actors on the show. Hello, Connor.
Hello.
Turn his mic on.
Terribly sad Saturday.
Oh dear. So yeah, we were both wearing our England shirts there, so we definitely didn't make any friends today.
It was a great match, great atmosphere. Sad defeat for Canada. England probably didn't deserve it, but you know what? It was a really great occasion, and everyone out there was really happy to be celebrating the Canadian team as far as they did.
Yeah,
and the support was brilliant.
Yeah, it was. It was cracking atmosphere in there. I mean, 55,000 people. Yeah. That was fantastic. But yeah, so we're going to be here afterwards. If you still need cheering up, you can check out the best of site from White Noise, which is whitenoisecomedy.podbean.com. And also, of course, you can always keep up with us on Facebook at White Noise UBC, on Twitter at White Noise UBC, where Richard Blackmore writes his madness and has a bit of fun on there quite regularly, so check it out. But without further ado, I do think it's time for the White Noise show, so please enjoy. Warning, the following programming contains adult subject matter and some strong language. It is a work of satirical fiction. All characters and advertisements are completely fabricated. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and tonight's episode is brought to you in part by Mascara, blinding women since 1910. First up tonight is a couple trying to become parents.
Darling, don't you think it's time we had a child?
No, I don't think it's time. I didn't hear any buzzer go off, did you?
No, but we are both about to turn 30.
So? Maybe I don't want kids.
What? I thought you said you wanted a big family.
I just meant it was cool if we got fat.
Oh, well, I want kids. I want to carry on the family name.
Your family name is Humperdinck.
Yes, and I am a proud Humperdinck. We Humperdincks have lived in this area for 200 years. It is my duty to carry on the revered name.
Revered name? Your dad was a smack dealer and his dad was a rent boy.
A high-class rent boy? Where do you think he got the money to put me through belly dancing school?
Right, and then you chose to use the stage name Flabby Finch.
To protect you from my belly dancing fame.
There were 8 people at your last gig.
Well, the Royal Legion is usually way busier than that on a Tuesday, but we were unlucky. We clashed with Bingo next door.
Look, names aside, do you really want to deal with being responsible for another human being for the rest of your life?
Rest of your life? It's only 18 years.
Oh, sure. People turn 18 and they magically become self-sufficient beings who never need anything from anyone ever again.
Well, look at it the other way. Who will care for us when we are old?
We could put aside the money a kid costs and pay for the sweetest assisted living home we could imagine.
But it's not just about that. Do you want to miss out on one of life's fundamental experiences?
You mean the experience of being torn in half by a creature trying to escape my body after sucking the life out of me for 9 months?
You could have a C-section.
You could have a C-section.
Oh, I would happily have the baby for you, darling.
Easy to say when it's an impossibility.
Well, why don't we adopt, then?
Adopt?
Yeah, we can give a kid who really needs a home somewhere safe and loving to grow up.
Huh. That might work. I mean, the kid would be so grateful, he would never complain about having to do the vacuuming.
Exactly.
Thank you, Anya and Finch. I was adopted, you know. I was put up for adoption at 13. Wouldn't have been so bad
if my parents hadn't kept my other four siblings. Next up tonight, Mad Max goes to see a therapist about his anger issues.
Ah, Max, please take a seat. You can leave your sawn-off shotgun in the umbrella stand. So, did you do as I asked? Did you try and meet one new person last week?
I said hello to a barista on Sunday.
Good, and how did that go?
I shot her.
Oh, Max, we talked about that.
Sorry. She started talking about BuzzFeed and this white rage boiled up inside me.
Understandable, but you can't go around shooting everyone who irritates you. You're not the United States government. If you want to recover from this acid trip you had at Burning Man that made you think you were racing through the desert for years, you are going to have to try using your words a little more.
But brain not work so good anymore.
I know, Max, and it was really mean of them to make films of you with that anti-Semite, but at least in the remake they got your slight lisp right.
Yeah, but I don't remember saving any supermodels in the desert.
Well, you did do a lot of acid. Have you been doing your breathing exercises?
Yeah, but someone interrupted me on this morning when I was trying to do them on the bus.
Oh, dear. Did you restart them like I told you?
Yeah, as soon as I shot him.
Oh, Max!
It's fine. He was 82. He was nearly dead anyway.
Max, you are never going to recover if you keep engaging in violence. You need a love interest. That always calms you down in the movies.
Did you want to go out with me?
Maybe if you looked like Tom Hardy.
I personally enjoyed the Mad Max films, because I like anything where pensioners have rifles. Now I'm in the mood to rewatch Hobo with a Shotgun. While I'm enjoying that, here is the sensational Terence Tripoli.
Dear Diary, I am now completely settled into my new job as a flour and sugar delivery man, though I'm still getting used to fitting the bigger orders in my bottom. I've decided, though, I need to add a new dimension to my life so I don't stagnate. I wouldn't want to become a weirdo. So I left my windowless basement suite and ventured out in search of a new hobby in the form of a night class. The first class I tried was a self-defense class. It was meant to be a woman's only class, but I just taped it between my legs. I lasted about 20 minutes before I got knocked out by someone. The teacher shouldn't be hitting students that hard, in my opinion. I mean, so what if she's 110 pounds? Now I can't remember middle school. Maybe that's a blessing in disguise. Sore and chafed from taping my scrotum to my arse, I decided to try cookery instead. Seemed like a safe and relaxed option. The instructor was a middle-aged woman with a heavy figure, a large perm, and a small blonde mustache visible in the light. Damn, she was hot. Her name was Mrs. Brown. I sat in the front row, and she instantly connected with me. She seemed enthralled by my intimate knowledge of fish gutting and subtle parcel delivery. We were shown how to make a traditional Sunday dinner, which wasn't what I thought it was. In our house growing up, a typical Sunday dinner was tinned hot dogs and Lay's chips with a relish of relish. My attempt at Sunday dinner was flawless. Besides forgetting to cook or wash any of the veg, I thought she meant them as a joke. I did try to quickly peel some carrots, but accidentally peeled most of my forearm, bringing an abrupt end to my class. They would have let me come back, but I made a little faux pas before leaving by announcing my undying love for Mrs. Brown, whose husband I found out had been sitting behind me the whole time. He didn't say anything, thankfully. He just punched me. After a quick bandage up and the setting of my nose, I was right back to the community center, determined to find my passion. Then it struck me. What do I love, besides Mrs. Brown? Writing in a diary. I write religiously, which is probably safer than being religious religiously. So I signed up for a creative writing class. The class was teeming with introverts and the insecure. These were my people. The teacher, Mr. Deacon, said to bring some of our own work to the next class to share with all the others. Nervous but determined, I presented my collection of diary entries that have covered my journey from innocent child to well-adjusted, worldly adult. These are my profound and poignant memoirs. When it was my turn, I stood in front of the class, buttocks clenched and brows sweaty. Fortunately, I brought both of my fedoras to wear to cover up my sweaty brow.
With nothing to lose, I poured my soul out line by line, exposing the very core of who I am to this room of near complete strangers. The reaction I got from the class was, well, I guess you can call it positive, but to be honest, I really didn't expect quite as much laughing, though Mr. Deacon had tears in his eyes at the end, so he must have really enjoyed it.
Ah, Terence, I would be sympathetic, but you must be making a killing off me playing your recordings so you can afford the tissues for your tears. Next up tonight is a woman trying to buy a car.
Hi there, are you busy?
Well, I was gonna go for a shit, but sure, what's up?
I could wait, you know.
Nah, it's fine. I already gave the order to retreat. How can I help you?
I'm looking to buy my first car.
Okay, cool. So, on whose credit are we doing this? Your dad's?
What? Because I'm a woman, I can't afford a car myself?
No, because you're young. You don't have the credit history to get approved.
Oh. Okay, fine. Yeah, Dad said he would co-sign with me.
Good. I'm Vern, by the way.
Zoe, nice to meet you.
So, what kind of, vehicle do you want to get into?
I want something with lots of power. You know, like in the adverts where they pull a jet engine? I want to be able to do that.
Uh-huh. Do you live in the country?
No, I live downtown.
And where do you work, construction?
No, I'm a receptionist at a hair salon.
And you're worried about towing power.
Look, stop trying to put me in your cliche box, okay? I bet you want to put me in a hatchback Tudor with low fuel consumption and a roadside assistance package.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. Something like a Fiat 500. You know, you get great mileage, it's easy to park, loads of headroom, great safety features, and reasonable price.
Fuck you, you misogynistic bigot. What do you drive? I bet it's some big gas-guzzling cock extension, isn't it?
I drive a Fiat 500.
Ah, sales. It pays well, but it might cost you your faith in humanity. Next up tonight is more domestic quarreling from Finch and Anya.
Oh, just make a decision. Mexican or Italian?
I don't know. We had Italian last week.
Well, my first choice was Chinese.
No, it never leaves me satisfied.
How about Greek?
Ew, no way. Gross. Ew, no. Let's do Spanish.
No, I always get stuff stuck in my teeth.
What about North American?
Oh, but it's always so fatty.
Oh, then get Japanese. You can't go wrong with Japanese. It's consistent. And it's always satisfying.
Fine, it's settled. Tonight, we get a Japanese hooker.
That is one advantage of being single. You don't have to consider others when buying a prostitute. Next up tonight is a surgical consult.
Come in, Edward. Take a seat.
Thanks, Dr. Chance.
So, you have been referred to me for a potential bit of rhinoplasty.
That's correct. I want a nose job. Nothing for my penis.
I never mentioned your penis.
Sorry, it's just something my wife said.
Well, a penis operation might add an inch or two, but you would still have the width of a pencil. Anyway, are you sure you just want the nose job?
Yes.
Well, because while we're at it, we could fix that chin, the crow's feet, the neck droop, pin back those flight risks you call ears, and I know a friend who can cap the Ode to Gary Busey you call teeth.
No, I'm fine, thank you. It's just the nose.
It really isn't.
Look, I don't want all those things done, thank you.
Why not? If you were that sentimental about your face, why are we rearranging your beak?
Because it makes me self-conscious.
If I were you, it would be the least of my worries. At least it distracts from the rest of the disaster you call a face.
Maybe you're right. Maybe I shouldn't get the surgery.
When did I say that? I said, get the whole lot. Stop dipping your toe in and belly flop into the deep end. I could turn you into a work of art. Well, something less Picasso, anyway.
Am I really that ugly?
There isn't enough Photoshop in the world, my friend.
Huh. Well, fine. Go on, then. But you better throw in a pair of breasts for free.
Is that not what the sign outside says?
I'd never get plastic surgery, but I'd love a bit of titanium. Next up tonight is a game show, because I said so.
Good evening, I'm Don Sizzler, and welcome to the Newly Divorced Game, the show where we test the knowledge of couples tired of copulating. Our contestants are always fresh from legal feuding and ready to beat their ex-spouses to the spoils. This week's winner takes home their choice of the holiday home, the family car,
or the kids. Our contestants are Deandra and Wallace from Wyoming. Good evening, Deandra.
Hi, Don. Hi, y'all.
So, Deandra, how is being newly divorced treating you?
Fantastic. I've been pampering myself. I've been dating. I've been doing a whole lot of dating. Sometimes, more than one at the same time.
And what has getting divorced taught you?
That marriage is for suckers. Though, ironically, now I give way more head.
Okay, and Wallace, what have you been doing since your divorce?
Drinking.
Uh-huh. Anything else? Have you started seeing anyone?
Yes, a shrink.
Any dates, with a woman?
Oh, yeah, one. A blind date.
And did she find you handsome?
What sort of question is that? I just told you she was blind.
Oh, sorry. But did it go well?
Yes. Until I made the move.
Oh, and how did you mess it up?
I don't know. I leaned in for the kiss, and she just stood there, like she didn't even see me.
Right. And lastly, Wallace, why did you get divorced from Deandra?
Deandra had an affair.
Ooh, juicy. With who?
I'd rather not say.
Oh, go on. It would make great radio.
My dad.
Oh, yeah, you probably shouldn't have told us that. Well, those are our contestants, a depressed moron and his easygoing ex-wife. We'll be right back after these messages. The Newly Divorced Game is brought to you in part by Johnson's Divorce Lawyers. We will get you the alimony you deserve without the irritants of child custody. And Vera's Frozen Dinners, preferred by divorcees since microwaves were invented. Okay, and we're back and ready for the first round. These are quick-fire questions.
I don't know anything about fire.
What? No, the questions are about each other.
Oh.
So, Deandra, to go first, are you ready?
Hell yeah. I'm taking everything you got, Wallace.
All right, start the clock. Deandra, what is Wallace's mom's pet name for him?
Wallace.
Correct. What is Wallace's favorite TV show?
He says it's Law and Order, but his Netflix history will confirm it's Yo Gabba Gabba.
Correct.
I like the songs.
And at what age did Wallace lose his virginity?
Easy. 22, as it was with me.
Incorrect. It was 15.
What? To whom?
His cousin Rita. No wonder he kept that quiet, but our researches are thorough. Time for one more question. What is Wallace's greatest fear?
Intimacy.
Correct. But with the cousin thing, can you blame him? Okay, Wallace, you're up next. Ready to go?
Where are we going?
Jesus. Start the clock. Wallace, what is Deandra's proudest moment?
Winning the topless bull riding at the Calgary Stampede in 1999.
Correct.
Hell yeah.
What is Deandra's perfect night in?
A bottle of vodka and the Denver Bronco.
Correct. She likes watching football, does she?
Nope.
Ah. What is Deandra's greatest achievement?
Completing Bejeweled.
Correct. One more for the win. What is Deandra's birthday?
December 25th.
Incorrect.
Oh, wait, no, that's Jesus.
One last chance to win the round. What is Deandra's birth mother called?
What? She isn't adopted.
Yes, she is.
No, I'm not. My mom is Dixie Carlton.
Yes, you are. You were born to Phoebe Wade in Utah 1975 and adopted by Dixie Carlton a year later.
Oh, my God. My life is a lie.
Oh, well, this is awkward, but we have a tie, so no winner today. Sorry, guys.
Are you joking? You just humiliated my ex-wife on the air. Winning!
Okay, sure. Let's run with that. Congratulations, Wallace. You are this week's winner.
Thank you so much for having me. Being here has really perked me up. My nipples are rock hard.
Sorry, the air conditioning is stuck on. I have been Don Sizzla. Join us next time for more Newly Divorcees Fighting Without Legal Fees.
Wow, lighter entertainment can get heavy. Still, that show wasn't as morally offensive as CBS's The Briefcase. Next up tonight is a letter from our trusted and trust-funded explorer, Henry Shufflebottom.
Dear Daddy, I am writing to you from the Trump Hotel in Fort Lauderdale. I wonder if anyone has told Donald his last name means fart in England. Fort Lauderdale is an interesting place. Many of the people appear to be made of as much plastic as American cheese.
A class divide exists here, separating the yacht-owning wealthy and the bus-riding working class. I do think it's absolutely outrageous everyone doesn't own their own boat, but as you always say, some people just don't work hard enough. Speaking of money, thanks again for the last check. I was down to my last thousand. I'd even considered roughing it in a non-Michelin star restaurant. I know you would shudder at the thought. I decided yesterday to try some local culture, so I went to a Coyote Ugly bar, where the bar staff poured drinks into your mouth while standing on the bar. The server poured tequila down my throat, which was fun, until I vomited back up all over her. She didn't say anything, thankfully, and simply vomited on me in reply. This was a blessing, as it prevented the bouncers getting too rough as they dragged me out. Afterwards, I ventured to a carver bar, where they serve carver root as a relaxing drink. It tasted like sawdust, but made me very relaxed. So relaxed, I didn't notice the homeless man stealing my pants. Half-dressed and smelling of stale vomit, I took a taxi back to my hotel. Feeling tipsy, I decided to take advantage of the adult entertainment available in my room. 30 minutes into my chosen film, I realized Hot Tub Time Machine wasn't a porno. The quality of the dialogue had me fooled. I awoke early this morning to try and watch the sea turtles nesting on the beach. Unfortunately, all I spotted nesting were two men in a bush. They invited me to brunch, but I had lost my appetite. My journey in Fort Lauderdale is coming to an end, but my memories of this place will be seared in my mind forever. Lots of love, Henry. P.S. Sorry I missed Grandad's party. Wait, that's not what you call it. I meant his funeral.
Thank you, Henry. Just remember what happens in Fort Lauderdale. We'll follow you for the rest of your life. Next up tonight is our final segment. It is a very personal piece for me. My dear mother, Frieda Nixon, was listening to the show earlier and heard my comment about being adopted. So she graciously emailed me the tapes of our conversation on that fateful day.
Dick? Dick, can you come here?
Can you stop calling me that, please, Mother?
Why? That never gets old. Sit down, lad. Me and your father have got something to tell you.
Am I in trouble? I swear, I didn't know that was the girls' changing room. I don't know how I got locked in that airing cupboard, and the hole in the door was there when I got there.
No, no, sit down. We have something important to tell you. Go ahead, Keith. Tell him.
Son, we are putting you up for adoption.
What? Why now? I'm 13.
Well, you're just getting too expensive. There's no way we can juggle you and the mortgage on our second home.
So are you giving up all four of your kids?
No, 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 no. Just you.
What? Why me?
Well, let's just pretend it's a last-in, first-out policy. That will make you feel better.
No, it won't.
Look, son, we would love to keep you, but you are just no longer fiscally viable.
Who are you, the Exchequer?
Just remember, one door closes, another door opens.
This door being attached to an orphanage.
Oh, my God! How am I going to survive an orphanage?
It'll be fine. It'll be just like summer camp, but with slightly more emotionally disturbed campers.
Oh, God! Gotta go live with Grandma!
No, we tried. She said it would interfere with her social life.
Well, she's right. When was the last time we had a PCP and karaoke night?
It was Richard's third birthday.
Oh, yeah. He looks so cute in the back of that squad car.
I still have the picture somewhere. Him blowing out his candles in the cell. You chewing your own face in the background.
Memories.
Anyway, enough nostalgia. Dick, go pack your bag.
Oh, sodger, I'm gonna run away.
Same difference.
Ah, that takes me back. Don't worry, I'm at peace with what happened. My other three siblings never got their own radio show or their own social worker. That's our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, featuring the voice talents of Connor Nishelput, Sierra Wiley, Victoria Bass, and Simon Welton. Music and sound effects by Max Cheers.
Whoever said money can't buy you friends obviously wasn't a member at CITR. When you become a member, you get the Friends of CITR card with incredible discounts on Commercial Drive and other areas at
Bone Rattle Music Limited, High Life Records, People's Co-op Bookstore, Audio Pile Records, Bad Bird Media, Band Merch Canada, Vancouver Music Gallery, and Pandora's Box Rehearsal Studios.
To find out more, visit us in room 233 of the sub on the UBC campus or go online to citr.ca.
All right, there you go. That was the White Noise Show. Coming up right away is the White Noise After Show featuring Connor Neckleput and myself, Simon Welton. But we're going to play a track first. So this is Hot Chip with Cry For You. All right, there you go. That was Hot Chip with Cry For You. So, we had a good day today watching the football, me and Connor. One thing that came up, which we realised you don't really do in Canada, so we want to educate you a little bit today, is the phenomenon that is the national song that gets released when we have a World Cup or a European Cup. And there's been some great ones down the year. So what's your favourite one, Connor?
Three Lions?
The Three Lions one with Badil and Skinner.
That's the one. Yeah,
that one's really catchy. That came out when I was like 6 years old, and I remember like being at Scouts and having like the Scouts disco, and us all like jumping up and down to that.
I wasn't even alive then, but I've just heard it since, and it just gets you going. It just gets you.
You weren't alive in 1996.
Yeah, no. Really? Oh no, you know what? No, sorry, I'm doing my math
like,
wrong.
What?
Yeah.
How young are you?
I was definitely 1 year old.
Okay, there you go. So you were definitely jumping up and down.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, absolutely. In the court, just having a ball in time. Cocaine everywhere.
he lived in a few different dodgy countries, apparently.
Yeah, Singapore being the biggest one.
Isn't like drugs very, very, very illegal there? Like you can get in, get put in jail for life.
Yeah,
for
like, no kidding. Now, drugs are a really big thing in Singapore. Not a big problem because they have laws to not make them a big problem, but. Yeah, if you're caught smuggling drugs into the country, you could potentially be executed.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like,
it's capital punishment. And to their credit, I guess they keep that stuff off the streets for the most part. I'm sure you can still get it, of course, like anywhere. But it tends to be a pretty clean place. That's not necessarily for everyone. Not everyone. Some people have great times doing certain drugs. I wouldn't support that kind of lifestyle myself, but I can't ignore everyone else's experience.
Yeah, but I mean, any non-violent crime that... I don't think you should execute anyone, but any non-violent crime that ends in execution is pretty obscene in most countries.
Yeah, they hold a tight ship. They run a tight ship. But the thing is, like, and they have a lot of tough rules like that. They have like crazy fines.
Well, yeah, because like even like gum and stuff. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, like they don't let you buy or sell gum, or they say if you spit it out on the pavement, or whatever, or you know they'll fine you. I think the thing is, there's not a lot of cops around though.
No,
like it's totally intimidation or the threat of.
Right.
That keeps everything kind of in line. And like, I had a great time there. It was very safe. It was a really sort of prosperous place to be if you have money. It's not a cheap place. It's not for everyone, but yeah, I had a great time there. It was very safe. Like, yeah, you're not going to get caught up in stuff in Singapore as easily as you might in other places, which isn't necessarily a good thing, but for me, it worked out.
Right. Okay. Well, we just went completely off topic there because we were talking about England football songs, and the reason I wanted to talk about that is we're actually going to play one because this one's a cracking one. This is actually by a band you've probably all heard if you are of distinguished taste, as most of our listeners, I assume, are, because you're not hearing any pop on this chart. But this is New Order featuring John Barnes, who was a football player who also apparently was quite good at rapping. So this is New Order featuring John Barnes. Check it out.
On the pitch.
Love's got the world in motion.
get to the light. They'll always hit you and hurt you. Defend and attack. There's only one way to beat them. Get round the back. Catch me if you can. Cause I'm the demon man. And what you're looking at is the master plan. We ain't no hooligans. They say no football song. Three lions on my chest.
Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
Every Wednesday from 10 to 11 p.m. for Sexy in Van City with your host, Caroline McGillivray. Sexy in Van City focuses on all things that are sexy in Van City, such as relational and sexual health with oneself, partners, and current events in the city.
So there you go. That was a song for England by New Order, which was like half of Joy Division when they were out. So they've come a long way since then.
I just love that people like to say, you know, like footballers and stuff or professional sportsmen, after they retire, the reason they get paid lots of money is through sort of market demand. But also when they retire, they're not really trained in anything else. Some might go into management bits and pieces. But that, I think that song proves that any sportsman can become a musician.
Well, they're not all as good as rapping as John Barnes.
Like. No, but true. But, you know, I think actually that song really epitomizes for me England as a country, because it really, it's kind of second rate, to be honest. but what it gets you really hyped up, gets you really in the mood. You really start believing by the end of that song, you know, like, we can do it, we can win. And then when we inevitably get sort of knocked out in the quarterfinals, we also to return and turn to that thing that we're actually good at, which is making music.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. Every World Cup, we get built up. And, I don't know anymore, but I've definitely cried as a kid when we get knocked out. Amazingly, my eldest brother, he still cries when we get knocked out. He's 34, but he still can't believe it when we lose every bloody time since 1966. But anyway, so who do we think is going to win the Women's World Cup? What's your bet now?
Well, I mean, with all respect, I wasn't entirely convinced by the performance of the English team today. We capitalised on one devastating mistake by the Canadians. We defended well enough. We got the result in the end. But having seen the highlights, having seen the games from Germany, Japan, even the USA, they look like real competitors. I mean, Canada, I think, got unlucky today. They played a good game, they're better than us. But even in that, perhaps shows that they weren't quite good enough to take it all the way.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously got some amazing talent like Buchanan in the back line, but the rest of the back line just didn't perform to the same level as she did. And, you know, Sinclair up front is fantastic, but they didn't capitalise on the chances they had, and they did have a couple, and they didn't create more to compensate for that. So, you know, I think everyone today really, you know, the first goal was a bit dodgy, but having said that, she still had to finish it. She still had to go around that other defender and slot it in the bottom corner, which is not a sitter. It wasn't like the ball dropped at the goalie's feet and she tapped it in. Like, that's a different story. So, you know, as sort of upset as Canadian fans were, I do think those were both very legitimate goals.
Yeah, no, I think there's a lot to be said for that. And actually, I mean, I think our finishing, our being England, was pretty reasonable actually today. I don't think we didn't miss any sitters. I don't think the Canadians missed a couple sort of chances that you might have said, oh, that, you know, that could be converted.
They didn't trouble the keeper a lot.
Yeah, but like, we forced the Canadian keeper into a couple of good saves. I think we just didn't have enough chances. But when you build up a 2-0 lead quite quickly by sort of combination of, I mean, yeah, good finishing, but also a little bit on accident. Like it's easier than to make sure to sort of sit back and sort of defend the advantage you have rather than go out and get on the lose on the counterattack. So, you know, it's a difficult game to judge by. But the thing I was really surprised by, not surprised by, but also inspired by, was the fact that, yeah, as we sort of mentioned earlier, there are about 55,000 people out to attend this game. And, yeah, of course, Canada were in it. So, naturally, everyone here is going to support the national team. But a lot of those tickets were sold before anyone knew Canada was going to be in this sort of stage of the quarterfinals. And really, to have that sort of representation at this level of the sort of the female game is, I think, yeah, really encouraging. Because it, in the place like BC Place, was it?
Yeah.
It's a big capacity, and it was absolutely filled, and everyone was passionate, everyone was getting it. Silly things like cheering like a dribble that was near the halfway line, you know? So that's like, you know, an experienced football fan, you might sort of think, yeah, it's not amazing. It doesn't get you up off your seat, but it's really encouraging to see that. And I think it sort of says a lot for the advancement of the women's game.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm absolutely so behind that idea of getting the, you know, the respect and the quality of the women's game on par with men. Because, and I don't say that to be negative, what I mean by that is women have had a raw deal when it comes to sport in the last 50 years. Because what actually happened in the 30s in football was the Football Association of Britain, which is the oldest football association, banned women's football when they were actually at the height of their popularity, where they were getting 50,000, 55,000 people to just a league game in Britain, and then the Football Association decided it was unwomanly for them to play sport, which is ridiculous. And so the women's association collapsed, and it really didn't get back on its feet until the 70s. And even since then, girls, you know, up until the last couple of years, I don't think have been encouraged in a lot of countries. I mean, my experience in Britain, we had separate PE classes, and the girls had to play their own sports. Like, boys played soccer, basketball, a bit of rugby. We played, you know, track and field, cross country. And then the girls were not allowed to play football. They were told to play netball, which is a bad version of basketball with no dribbling, which isn't as fun. They played field hockey and tennis. But yeah, they were basically given what I think the school saw as the womanly sports, which is just absolutely absurd. I mean, as I was leaving, they were finally getting a like grade 12 women's soccer team, but it wasn't the school that did it. It was literally a bunch of girls got a coach and just grassroots did it themselves, which is fantastic. But you know, they've had all these barriers in the last 70 years against them. So to see the progress and the interest, I mean, they predicted approximately over a billion people will be watching this World Cup. And I think that, as you said, is absolutely exceptional. But you still didn't say who you think is going to win.
Have to make a call. I think it's going to be Germany. I think they're going to do a males World Cup followed by a female World Cup. I think they're going to do both of them.
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, I feel like the other semi-final, because it's going to be England-USA and it's going to be Japan-Germany, and I hate to say it, but I feel like Japan-Germany is really the final, and whoever wins that is going on to win it. I mean, the Japanese, their finishing has been really good.
They've got
dribbling.
A tremendous goal against was it Australia to win. I mean, it was only a 1-0 game, mind you, but still, they look on point and on fire.
Yeah, and you know, Australia, as always, their teams are exceptionally fit. And that's always hard to break down in football when they just have tons of cardio and tons of ability to keep up with you. You can just stick a body in the way. It doesn't take a lot of skill. You just need to be there. And that's why the Aussies got as far as they did get. For me, I'm going to go with Japan. Yeah. I think their team is amazingly organized. They've already got the pedigree of having won the last World Cup, so they obviously can take the pressure. But, you know, either one is a pretty confident bet at this time. But anyway, we're gonna play a song, play some ads as we have to, and then we're going to come back. So what I'm going to play for you now is a Vancouver guy who hasn't been getting a lot of mainstream attention, but his new album, Goon, is extraordinary. His name is Tobias Gesso Jr. He will be performing at the Pemberton Music Festival this month. So if you go in there, make sure you check him out. But here you go, I'll play a little for you now. This is Tobias Gesso Jr. with Without You.
why can't you just love me? Should I move on? Or should I wait? And how'd you get so high above me? I reach higher every day. But nothing changes. No, it all just stays the same.
Of the 422nd Quidditch World Cup. Let the match begin!
That's right, UBC has a Quidditch team and we're the fastest ones yet.
Come join us at practice every Thursday at 5 and Sunday at 12 to show us your house pride. You can also get on our level with our Quidditch swag. We have bro tanks, t-shirts and sunglasses, all which go towards getting us to the World Cup. Not sure where to find the snitch? Well, like us on Facebook or check out our website at ubcquidditch.com and we'll be more helpful than you'll remember all. And remember, we want a nice, clean game from all of you.
All right, there we go. That was Tobias Gesso Jr. I did make a little mistake in the early part of the broadcast where I said Pemberton was this month, which would be amazing as we've only got 2 days left in the month, but actually it's next month in July. I think it's about around the 17th, something like that. But yeah, so we'll keep on our theme of sport, I think, for the next little bit of chat, because I'm enjoying that. I read an article recently that apparently in they're looking at adding chess to the Olympics as a sport.
Dangerous move. Bold move.
Well, you know how wild that can get.
Thousands of wild fans screaming their names.
Very, very quietly. But yeah, so that makes me wonder, like, Connor, what sport would you put in? If you could put anything into the Olympics, where would you go with it?
See, that's funny, because I don't have anything at the moment, like some of those alternative sports, like Ultimate Frisbee and stuff like that, which, like, I mean, fair enough, like, whatever you want, but, like, I wouldn't think of that immediately. But like, one of the things, I like to game, for instance. I'm a bit of a gamer, right?
Mm.
So many people, because there's now actually growing exponentially a huge internet gaming or like computer gaming sort of scene on a professional level that is similar yet still not as popular as like professional sports like football or swimming or ice hockey or whatever, basketball.
Oh, and there's so many, like, a lot of swimming fans out there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Michael Phelps is pretty dope, right?
That's literally the one person we could name, though.
No, we can name... Oh, he's a diver, never mind.
Was that Tom guy?
Tom Daly, yeah.
Yeah, he was like 13. When he started.
But yeah, but so sport in the name of it, because I've had this debate with people before, has to be physical. So you think already internet sort of games and stuff like that don't quite count. But if you're playing chess to it, if you're chessing me in it now, I think you're kind of now breaking, dissolving the sort of Olympic sort of, I guess, parameters now to include sort of more mentally kind of stimulating games and sort of challenges.
I see. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right that is going to be the next big debate in Olympics is, yeah, do you put Dota 2 in the Olympics? Do you put, any of those sort of games? Because they do require a lot of sort of tactile sort of agility in your fingers.
They require agility, but I think a lot of it is mainly in your head. The ability to prioritize and functionize at like incredibly fast sort of speeds. Like I play socially and stuff like that, just for fun. But yeah, so some of the people who actually play sort of professionally, they actually earn quite a bit of money.
Well, yeah, because the prize like was $1 million for the last. I know the one that was they had the World Dota Championship.
Yeah, the international.
In Seattle. A mate of mine went, and yeah, it was like over $1 million.
Yeah, and this year it's even bigger. It's like, again, Seattle this year, I think August 28th or 14th, something like that.
I wonder why Seattle though. Why do we get it here?
I actually have no. I mean, maybe it's because of. I should have no idea. I was going to say, to try to tie it into like Amazon and other kind of like internet kind of companies and Microsoft that kind of lurk nearby.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think that's necessarily, it's not as if like Seattle necessarily is the fastest Wi-Fi or a connection in all of the United States or the world. So I'm actually a bit puzzled myself.
Yeah. The probably simple explanation is just the bloke who decided to organise it in the first place is from Seattle.
Probably. And, who had a friend at the convention centre who brought in pre-day buzzers and it was a riot. But yeah, so I think as... Yeah, in itself, there is a great amount of time that's the professional. It sounds funny to say that now, the professional gamers sort of put into their sort of into their passion, but yeah, you get loads of prize money. You get lots of people coming out to watch, and the teams at this point, because the internet teams are not exactly like big things, but obviously in the Olympics you have big teams, football stuff, smaller teams. And then perhaps like individual competition. And sometimes you have more than one person from each country. So is that a team or isn't it like the archery, for instance? Not really, but still. But I think there are lots of other games, other sports that are more physical that probably fit the word sport better.
Mm.
But with the Olympics, including chess, if that is in fact true, and I have no reason to doubt you, I think that we should sort of consider bringing in that, yeah, internet sports into it a little bit. Perhaps not like full on, but just introduce it and see how it goes, because I think there's potential there, maybe.
Well, I think if we are bringing in chess, that does open up also the whole board game things. How about a bit of Buckaroo? We could go with that.
Professional Monopoly.
Yeah, a little
games
bit.
Last Mouse 3 days.
I'd watch Mousetrap on
Actually,
television.
No, I would definitely watch it. Oh, Snakes and Ladders, though. The ups and downs in that game. You'd have so much passion involved.
There's far more skill involved in Buckaroo than there is in Snakes and Ladders. That is just a dice roll.
But yeah, it's okay. So is Yahtzee. So that game requires intense skill.
But do you know where this would go, though? They bring in chess, they bring in Dota, and then, like, you know, we get to the 2030 Olympics, and it's Dungeons and Dragons. Just like
that would be brilliant, though.
But like 10 days.
It turns into like Game of Thrones, where like every different kind of country has a bit of a different accent. It's kind of exotic, and they're all like, telling this like, wonderful tale. I'm like, you're not exactly that. Game of Thrones isn't exactly a wonderful tale.
Yeah, but and I don't think quite as many people would die in it.
All be raped or various bits and pieces like that. Yeah.
But speaking of Game of Thrones, I have a complaint for the 24-hour newspaper. I know you think you're brilliant or whatever, but putting the bloody end of Game of Thrones on the front cover of your newspaper last week was kind of annoying for me because I hadn't caught up with it. Yeah, they put literally the spoiler of the last episode, which I'm not going to say because I'm not an idiot, but they did. So, nasty words for you, sir. All right, let's play another song and we'll be right back.
It's such a